the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Today is January 8th, 2018. I want to thank you for joining us and welcome to the new year. Before we get started, I kind of want to give a shout out and say a little prayer for a YouTuber who succumbed to the pressures of his own life, John Doe. His name is Ryan Smith, and he was a self-avowed Marxist. Many people who followed him on YouTube know who he was. He was on Facebook, and we just found out that he passed away last month, so I'm sending my blessings out to his family. Today we have with us a returning friend of our show, a personal friend of mine, Heidi Lambert from No Nukes Northwest, and we are going to talk about a very interesting topic, something that most people sort of shy away talking from, including myself. So we're going to face it. Thank you, Heidi, for joining us. We really appreciate you being here with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to today's show.
Yeah, so when I asked you what you wanted to talk about, why don't you tell our listeners what you wanted to talk about? This is very interesting.
Well, so as most know, I'm from the Tri-Cities. I was raised outside of Hanford, and my family were farmers. And I actually returned back. I had left and gone to college and traveled and returned back in the early 2000s and stayed there for about 10 years trying to farm there myself. My husband and I had an organic farm, and we grew hops and different kinds of herbs. And while we were there, we started to see some different farming practices and just kind of seeing the science of what was going on, you know. And anyways, so long story short, what I want to talk about is the food supply, because now I live on the Oregon coast, and there's a lot of conversation from people about how they don't eat fish and that they're worried about the tuna from Fukushima and the seaweed and whatnot, and which I think that's all valid, but I think that we forget how contaminated the food is in the United States. And even myself, who understands that the food is very contaminated, I struggle because my family is from Eastern Washington, and so, like, for said holidays, like Christmas, I received a lot of food from there as gifts. And an example is that I received a harvested pig. And this brought a lot of controversy into my life because in the last few years, I've noticed that pig is something that they usually have a lot of in really contaminated places. It's one of the bigger, quote-unquote, crops of Eastern Washington. If you read about the South, there's like wild boars that have taken over, and they actually pay you to, there's a bounty to harvest the boars, and you get to keep the boars to eat. And also there's the same thing in Japan and also in Chernobyl. So I started not eating pork years ago, feeling like it was one of the more contaminated meats. So there was irony that this was my gift for Christmas, and it wasn't just like a 5-pound thing of bacon. It was an entire pig.
Oh my gosh.
I put 1,000 pounds of pig, and it entirely filled my freezer. So my first response wasn't not wanting to be rude and insulting, because the person who gave it to me still lives in the Tri-Cities, and they take a lot of pride, and they had raised this pig with their family, and this was a big deal for them to give it to me. So I wanted to be grateful. But then, you know, after they leave, my husband and I look at each other and we're like, well, maybe we should donate it. And I thought, well, that's kind of crappy. Like, why would I want to donate this food to some innocent person and give them the contamination? So that didn't feel right. And then the other option was to just throw it away. And then that felt really wasteful and wrong. So this is where it started, this conversation inside of me of how these people, how so many people farm in Eastern Washington and put their lives into this food. And maybe it's organic, maybe it's not. And it varies from, you know, pig to cattle to dairy. It could be onions, potatoes, cherries, apples, sugar beets, wheat, barley. So, I mean, you could even live a totally vegan lifestyle.
Even oats are grown up in the Tri-City. I found a map when you were talking to me. I found a map put out by Armour on where all the food is grown. And it is very interesting because all of our food is grown in the areas where they test the nuclear bombs. Like I have been saying lately after, I don't know, speaking with Dr. Busby and a few other people about, really, we're whining about Fukushima. Fukushima just sort of took the curtain back. It just reminded us. It took the Band-Aid off. It reminded us because it's ongoing. The bombs, they did over 2,000. Yeah, I don't have the exact number. The test bombs during World War II were so much more. We're still living with the radioactivity that they bombed us with during the test bombings. These military forces didn't ask the world, do you mind if we do this? They just did it, and it had affected everything in our country. They bombed the daylights out of the middle of our country.
Yeah.
And all of the food supplies are grown. Everything.
Anything tropical, you know, anything growing in the South. And on top of that, Lonnie, which not to be more frightening, but just to be more realistic, is all of those bombs contaminated the water, the earth, and the air. And all three of those
still
things
do.
Are
contaminated. It's not like it did once. It's still there. In fact, many of the contaminants are growing into other contaminants that last longer. You know, they're called daughters, not to get too technical about all this stuff. But anybody, I mean, this, I think actually, and I've said this before, I think a lot of the climate change is because we're killing the microscopic life. And I also don't think, the more I've really studied this whole cycle, it's not, like I read this article about the forever chemicals. It's not just the radioactivity. It's all the other stuff that goes along with it. Like it's
the glyphosate or whatever.
Oh my God. Just a million, the HFCs or FCs, forever chemicals, high, you know, carbon fluorides, I think they were called. They last forever, thousands and thousands of years. And they're in our blood. They're in our water supply. And these radioactive contaminated animals are drinking. It's kind of gotten to be, I mean, for me personally, it's become a personal issue. I mean, I'm actually going to go see someone today to help me figure out what I can eat and what help me sort of get over this emotional block that I'm having, because I can't, I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to feel paralyzed. Like, what do you eat? Like, I just eat strictly, like, very limited. And yet, I like all these other foods, but I can't even eat a half a cup of plain yogurt without starting to, by the end of the half a cup, I'm like, I'm wondering if I'm giving myself something.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. It's a frightening age. And I think that that's kind of where we're at, is having to balance our personal nutrition of what we need versus substance of what feels good and feels right. And then the science of, you know, what does that really mean? And so I guess where I get peace of mind, Lonnie, is I believe that we absorb chemicals and radiation all the time. But I do believe that our body lets it go. It can let it go. And I guess some of my hope comes from, I know people who survive cancer, and they've been diagnosed with huge tumors, and then they have let it go, and they survived it. And so I don't know exactly how that science works. I don't think medicine knows how that science works altogether yet either. But I do, when I try to eat something, I try to really enjoy it and be appreciative for it and tell my body, like, give myself permission to absorb and keep the things that are good for me and let go of the things that aren't. Now, that could be just a bunch of juju, voodoo, you know, but I do believe in quantum physics, and I do believe that there's a magic to our bodies that we really don't understand. And so that's the only way I've had peace of mind when dealing with our diets, because there really isn't anything that I feel like is really safe anymore. And I for a while, I thought, well, if I grew it, or if I you know, foraged it and it grew in the wild, then that would be the best for me. But then I started learning about how much our rain is contaminated. And so pretty much anywhere that it rains is exposed to these contaminants. And then I started to think about the wind and the wind cycles, you know, so you start to see it's way bigger. And so the bottom line for me, why I wanted to be on the radio today, wasn't to talk about how scary our food was. I mean, it was some, but mostly it's about what a distraction that is, because we spend so much time in conversation about our diets. I hear a lot about veganism and making right choices and how that's the healthier choice and you're going to live longer. And I just feel like that's a way to divide us and distract us from the true topic. And the true topic is that we keep making these chemicals and putting them in our world. And what we really need to do is start saying to stop it, that this isn't something we can control. I mean, that was the whole argument for the whole nuclear science, was that it's contained and controlled. And it's not. It's not containable, and it's not controllable. And these are examples of that. And we are the first people on Earth to see everything contaminated. And rather than us spend time pointing fingers and judging each other, we all need to get together and point our fingers at them and say, stop putting this stuff in our Earth. Quit making this. And I feel like we're really a long ways from that, especially with our president and his pushing towards more nuclear weapons, not even power. He just wants the weapons, and he doesn't realize how the gravity of that situation. You know,
he has no concept of what it really means. He really, although maybe he doesn't, he just has no regard for human life. But he doesn't understand that it's going to affect everything. I mean, but is the whole attitude of the let's make America great again means turning back regulations. These guys are jumping over themselves because they've already turned over 29 rules from the EPA that have been overturned. 24 rollbacks are in progress, and 7 are in limbo. Like, this is something there. Can you imagine this? They are considering rolling back groundwater protections in uranium mines.
Yeah,
that one has not been implemented because there's enough pushback. However, there is there has been a rollback on, you know, the royalty regulations, the way they do the regulations for oil, gas, and coal.
I mean, there cancer's, you know, cancer is not selective. It's that's one thing about it. It's not prejudice. It will go anywhere it can grow. So it doesn't matter how wealthy these men, I'm going to assume it's mostly men. I guess there's some women making these bad decisions, but they're going to drink that water. That uranium water will become theirs. And that's what they don't understand. They think they're going to get rich. They don't realize that cancer grows faster than money, you know? It's going to take them out.
That's and a good phrase.
It's Steve Jobs is a perfect example. He's one of the richest men in the world, and he died of pancreatic cancer. There was nothing that could save him.
Yeah.
And that's the world we live in, you know? And we live a very short, short amount of time, especially compared to an atomic atom. A split atom, which lasts thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And most people can't even fathom how long these chemicals are going to be on our Earth. The same with just like plastic. And people just have no idea that that straw is going to outlive them by like 10 generations.
Right, exactly. Straws are an interesting little thing. It never even occurred to me until maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that straws are very horrible thing for our planet. My niece said something to me like, you know, if you really want to be conscious, stop using straws. Get metal straws. If you want a straw, get a metal straw.
Yeah. I went out yesterday and they had paper straws. It was the coolest thing ever. I loved it. It was, worked for one time and then it was disposed, you know, compostable.
Compostable, and, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was turned to mud probably within a year. I mean, I think we moved away from paper products because we had overlogged so much, you know, that plastic seemed like a good alternative to wood and paper. But then now we look at how long that plastic is around and not usable, but still here, you know. There's lots of things that we can do to when it comes to reducing. Yeah, you know, like to me, that is the most powerful thing we have against nukes is to reduce the need of power, reduce the need of crap, reduce the need of what you use and how you use it, but definitely reduce the need for energy seems to be a huge one. Reduce the need for weapons, you know, like I thought we were way beyond needing nuclear bombs to protect ourselves. I was appalled when I saw that that was the solution, you know, for Korea. It's just like, we haven't learned anything.
Well, we have. We just have someone in the White House who's doing the bidding for some very evil people. That's all. I think that this White House does not reflect where the American people are at all. And that's the pushback. And, you know, we're just going to have to understand that we have to take the longer picture look and realize that we can undo. That's why he's doing these really horrendous things now, because even if he comes out of office and they lose miserably, like the Anwar deal, Anwar's going to take a long time to stop doing now that they've got it going. You know, that was the big push for the taxes. I mean, but this is, again, it all talks about our food supply. It's really all about how are we going to protect our water and our food supply? And at this point, it's kind of a shock to realize that our food supply has not been protected. In fact, it almost looks intentional. Because if you look at the food map, the nuclear testing was done where all of our food was done. Like, if you look at those maps, it shows where all the fallout went. The fallout went where America grows its food.
Well, it is an interesting thought that I've thought for a long time about if they know what they're doing. And I always come back to the Bikini Islands, because Bikini Islands, you know, we bombed the heck out of and as a test site. And there was a whole culture of people who were living there that we disregarded because they were indigenous, so we thought that they didn't count, and which is so sad. And
not only did not count, but like my brother-in-law who lived there, he said, we did them a favor. We bombed them out of the Dark Ages. Literally, he said, those words came out of his mouth.
Yeah, and that just goes to show how stupid we can be, you know. No offense to your brother-in-law, but...
Hey, no offense taken. I feel much worse about him than you do, so...
Right. So we have these idiots who think that people aren't people and that they live in the Dark Ages, and we bomb them. But the thing is that we put those people back on that island. We waited like 10 years, and we were like, oh, everything looks fine here. And I saw this documentary as a kid, and it always made a huge impression on me, because if you're in the Tri-Cities, everything looks fine there. Like, you imagine that if it's so radioactive and so dangerous, like, things wouldn't grow and there wouldn't be, like, birds chirping and stuff. And right. that's the reality, is that even in a very radioactive atmosphere, things do live and thrive for a while until there's something that mutates in them. And it's usually generations down the road. That's how invisible and micro that we're talking, you know? So, but back to the Bikini Islands, is they put those people back on that island. They said, everything looks fine. It's all good. You know, go back to your ways. And those people survived off of seafood and coconuts. That was their native, their indigenous diet. And within, you know, weeks, people were dying. And so then, you know, I don't know how it came back to the U.S. attention, probably because, you know, whatever. But what was happening was these folks were getting cancer. And they were like, wow, well, what's different? What could it be? Well, and it's the fact that you can take a coconut, and a coconut absorbs calcium. That's why we love, I mean, it absorbs all kinds of minerals. It's so rich in minerals. And that's why people survived on it for thousands and thousands of years. But what we didn't realize is that when the radiation went into the coconut, it changed its chemical compound. It no longer was like a gamma ray or beta or whatever. It became strontium. And you can only find it if you're looking for it. If you don't know what strontium is or cesium, then when you're looking at that coconut, you're telling us that it's not radioactive, that it's fine. You have to put it under a spectrometer, and you have to look at it atomically and look for strontium. So literally, I feel like it took, like, the government pretty much, it wasn't until, like, 2000s. It wasn't until Fukushima that they started testing for cesium and strontium in the tuna. Mm. But we know that they knew this during Bikini Islands in the 1940s. So that's where I go back to. And so... That's where my first thought started. But then when you look, also when I looked around, Chernobyl's one of number one Russian crops there was potatoes. And they grew a ton of potatoes, and they made vodka out of it.
Wow.
So then I started to realize that that was one of the number one crops in Eastern Washington. And what they did is they made French fries and sold them to McDonald's. And so you start to look at these different crops and that thrive in these areas. They look normal, but they're very calcium, potassium-based vegetables or, you know, products, I guess is what you would call it. And then when I took science in college, I'll never forget being told the solution to pollution is dilution.
That's right. That's, in fact, what they tell you now.
It's science 101. And so when you think about it, you think, oh, okay, so you make this atomic waste. You don't want to be responsible for it. It's around for thousands of years. So the best way to not to take responsibility or any accountability is to spread it around. Spread it around as far and as wide as you can. And then people will get the same cancers all over the world. And then you can say you don't know how it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see going on. I mean, when you first learn that our United States soil and water is so contaminated and seed supplies and all, you start looking at our food and you're just like, holy wow. But then, Lonnie, it gets even more frightening when you look at other continents, because we don't just have atomic testing and bombing in the U.S. I mean, right. Russia's been doing it. Europe
France
been doing
has,
it.
Yeah.
India does it. The South, you know, South America has it. So then you start to realize that, wow, you know, there's no one really safe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way, the only way out of this is to, one, stop making it, and two, start really trying to figure out how you're going to fix this, which I'd like to think there's hope that we'll figure that out. But at this point, you know, when you split an atom, they have no clue how you're going to get those atoms back together. And so the way that they justify it is saying you don't need them to get back together.
Well, we have the phytoremediation. We do know they have phytoremediation that helps, you know, where you plant plants that absorb it. But once those plants are highly radioactive. That's the thing. Their ultimate solution is to bury however they isolate it. They just bury it. Like that article that I read last week about the AY-102 tank, the first double shell tank up in Hanford, right? They looked, it's a quarter of a mile wide. It's not a small tank. It's a double shell tank. And they looked at one area and said, well, we've removed all the sludge and we think it's all out of there. No way to verify it. We're just going to bury it. And that's their solution.
Right, but see, that's where we've seen it go wrong, because either the shells crack and then it gets into the groundwater. I mean, that's been going on for decades in Hanford, was that the groundwater, I mean, radiation searches out hydrogen, so it goes towards any water and clings to it. So then that's where you get the vitrification. Vitrification, and the idea is that it solidifies the waste so it can't go looking for water, but still, I mean, we're still talking about it being, you know, super highly radioactive and still having to be in some sort of shell, you know. And the thing about the ground, too, is that Tri-Cities, Hanford, I mean, they were just idiots. I mean, there's so many fault lines through there. I mean, just last week, there was a huge earthquake, a 4.5 earthquake that took half the mountain. And I don't know if you saw the aerials of it. If you Google, like, Yakima Union Gap right now, you're going to see this crazy mountain where half of it is falling off of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Because of these earthquakes. Yeah, no, just huge.
And I saw that, but I didn't realize it was that close to Hanford.
Yeah, it's like the back half of Hanford. It's like the mountain range between Hanford and Yakima. And
wow.
So who knows what's all in there, you know? And that's just an example, though. I mean, the Northwest has, what, 7 volcanoes? 2 that are, you know, at least Helens is active. And it was not a smart place to put all those dams. There's all these dams upriver from Hanford. There was that one dam that had like a 70-foot crack in it, and had that dam broke, it would flood the CGS. And CGS is the same GE reactor as Fukushima. It has the same problems where it can't be flooded, and they thought it wouldn't be a problem because it's so far from the ocean, but they don't take into account the water variances if a dam breaks. I mean, there's just so many variables. There's so many variables to consider. With nukes, and I feel like they're just so short-sighted, and especially with the keeping of the waste, and then the solution to dilute the world with it and put it everywhere. You know, it's just like Japan with their garbage bags of dirt, and they just move them around to the different parts of the island. That's what I feel like we do with our contaminated dirt here. We just make concrete out of it. We just move it around, and it's just not a good solution.
This makes me wonder if, you know, like somebody has to know that they're making poor decisions.
Well, that's where greed comes in, right? It's like, are we here to make healthy, happy people, or are we here to make money? And I feel right now our human populace is very divided on the answers to that. I think some people really don't give a crap about each other, and they just want the money. I think that it goes really simple to the point where if you are a farmer and you have a farm and you've done it your whole life, how do you quit that because you're told somebody else contaminated it? You know, I think that that's a question that a lot of people think about, you know, is it worth it? And that's where I come back, that if you grow your own vegetables and you take care of your own food, you're putting the love and intention and energy into it, that maybe it doesn't absorb, or maybe you see the one leaf that's kind of weird and deformed, and you pluck it off and you just don't eat that leaf. If you give your attention to your food and your nutrition, somehow that over compensates for the bad science of that food, you know.
Is that what you meant by the law of, what'd you call it? Not physics, but you called it the law of quantum physics. To explain that a little bit.
Well, I don't know very much about quantum physics, but what I do understand is like the power of thought and how your intentions can change things and how we will attract and absorb good energy. I mean, our body is definitely designed to take in what it needs. And you hear this conversation a lot with GMOs because a lot of chemists will say, oh, there is nothing different about a GMO. You know, your body cannot tell the difference between GMO wheat and normal wheat. And I disagree. I believe that if you were to look at it at an atomic level, they would look different. And one of the examples I have is sugar. So, like, if you were to look at sugar and you look at NutraSweet, they do look different. And I think that our bodies do identify that. But if we're just craving, if our body wants sweetness and we give it a Diet Coke every single day, eventually it's going to start putting that sugar somewhere. And it usually puts the contaminants in our fat cells. And the same happens with cows and pigs and chickens. And, I mean, that's just a human or an animal response to food that we don't need. Our body says, well, we might need this later, so let's just keep it just in case. And then that's why I think a lot of tumors are found in our fat, because that's the cells that are more willing to take it even though we don't need it. Mm-hmm. But I think that our body wants to take the things that we need. So when I talk to dietitians about it, you know, pretty much they say, if you stay healthy and you eat well and you do a really good job eating the food you need, then your body won't absorb the crap. Also, if you eat well and you exercise, then you're also expelling whatever you don't need. Mm-hmm. So you're not keeping it. And those things are some things that I think that we don't think of as cures.
And also being happy, that's one of the things. Eating well and exercising helps you do. Because there's plenty of people who aren't overweight or aren't fat, who don't have an ounce of fat, who do get cancer. A lot of that comes from the vitriol. Like, there's some studies that show that if you, you know, have a super negative attitude, you're going to attract illness, period.
Right. And that's kind of quantum physics, I believe, too. That if you have a negative attitude, you're going to attract that negativeness. If you eat something and you're like, oh, this is awful, this is, you know, the worst thing ever, then you're like telling your body to just not even to absorb it and take it, or to put it, you know, put it somewhere else. But Lonnie, as depressing as this is, I feel like none of us are going to survive. You know, we're all human.
Did you hear my show with Dr. McPherson, Guy McPherson? He thinks we're not going to make it past 2028. He's coming back on again in this next month. We're going to talk about this some more. You know, he really says, look, if you just look at what we've got going on, let's just face facts. Like, even if we could reverse and stop everything today, we're so far over the falls that there's no climbing back up.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is... A lot of educated people do believe that. And I remember, you know, 20 years ago when I was in college, being told about this and about food and how we eat, like, pretty much the same 14 foods in anything that we eat. And if those 14 foods are contaminated, you know, our bodies aren't used to eating and getting nutrients for other foods. And, you know, we'll go extinct because of food. And now I look at how we've treated our food. And also, I have to say, when I grew up, I remember my mother telling me that the government would never poison their people. Like, their prerogative was to feed us and nourish us and make us healthy. And she would say that as she was making us macaroni and cheese with Velveeta cheese, you know? And as I grew up and could read the ingredients, I was like, there is nothing cheesy. There's no cheese to Velveeta. Like, there's nothing nutritional about this food.
It's a food product. It even says a food product. It doesn't say cheese.
But bless my mom's heart, man. She really, truly believed that it was nutrition and that no one would want to hurt people. And so, of course, food wasn't for profit. And it just seems like in the 80s and the 90s, I just watched more and more cheap fast food and just food that didn't have any nutritional value. And then in the 2000s, all these movies come out, you know, the Super Size and, you know, What the Health and all these movies. And it's like people just started thinking like, oh, maybe they are just trying to make a money and not care about us. You know,
well, I think they keep acting like we can live twice, right? Like, this is the idea, is that really, okay, so we can make a lot of money. We have more billionaires on this planet than ever, right? And in like that, there was one, I saw Greg Palast's documentary over the weekend about the elections. It's called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, The Case of the Stolen Election. And he was talking about how it wasn't the Russians, it was how they have rigged our machines and basically cleansed people. If you are black in this country, the chance of you having your name scrubbed from the voter rolls because your name matches another person is extremely probable. I mean, they scrubbed something like 57,000 people in Ohio, 43,000 in Kansas. I mean, every single state where Trader Trump won, there were people scrubbed. They went to the polls and they're like, nope. In fact, one elected official, a state representative from one of the southern states, he went to vote and he's like, what do you mean I'm not on the voter rolls? They're like, well, there's something called cross-check. That is a program run by the Republicans that, in fact, it was that guy Kobach who Trader Trump had that agency that he shut down to do the voter registration rolls, right, that they were going to look at the election fraud and all of that. These are intentional ways of just going. But the point is that one man who started this program, he made more money than any other person in the history in 1 year than any other person in the history of the world. His name was Singer. I mean, I would really recommend that documentary. It really laid it out, like the challenges we have. When we say we have challenges to the 2018 election, we have big challenges because they really are setting up us for a totalitarian state. 100%. This is not a joke, folks. This is very, very real. Go take a look. These are all certified facts.
Well, again, there's a lot of money to be made in nuclear science. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, GE has been a huge part in nuclear science. There's a lot of companies that have a lot of money in it and are making huge returns. Now they're going to get great tax breaks. Mm-hmm. So the only people who really pay are the people who eat and breathe, which is everyone. So they might get rich, but again, they're not going to be saved, get saved from it. And we can think that, you know, modern medicine will give us a second chance or a second life. And I do see a lot of people who do survive cancer, so I am hopeful, but I see a lot of people who don't. And I see a lot of blame, Lonnie, I guess. I feel like I see a lot of blame to people like, oh, well, it's your fault because you lived there, or it's your fault because you ate that, and, you know, you made these decisions, so you made your bed, you're going to lie in it. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's where I feel like I need to advocate for people, because I feel like none of us are safe, and none of us are, no matter how controlling we are of our diets and our atmosphere, It's just a distraction from what we're really trying to control, and then it's because it's beyond our control, because the powers that be are so great, they change the laws, they change everything to protect themselves. We could have had solar and wind power decades ago, and had way more of it, and all of that between the oil companies and the nukes, they don't want it. Same with coal. They would rather have coal. I just saw a quote the other day from Trader Trump saying that he wants the U.S. to be one of the greatest coal countries in the world.
Right.
You know, he's so adamant at saying that global warming isn't happening that he makes the worst choices possible. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of my kids. You tell them, you know, to do something and they're not going to just because you told them to do it.
That's pretty much, it's pretty much belligerence. That's exactly right. That's where he is. I mean, that you, that we can go down across the line, but the other part of this is the, you know, there's a focus on the nuclear war, right? Like the nuclear button that's, you know, obviously on his desk. And there is some talk about that. And people are big about, you know, ICANN won an award, the Nobel Peace Prize, for, you know, its efforts to stop nuclear war and the proliferation. And yet, the whole industry surrounding building nuclear weapons is still going on. So how do we counter this argument where people say, well, we've been dealing with this since World War II, and people, we've had a population growth. You know, you're fine. Everybody's fine. So what's the problem? You know, obviously it's not killing people.
But again, the population growth is still substantial, because who knows how many more people there would be if we didn't die. I mean, I saw that the average lifespan has gone down like by 2 decades in just the last decade. So people are dying a lot younger. And just the whole, the quality of life, you know, like I live on the West Coast, and do I like to hear that we're trying to agitate Korea? No, like I want my family to go about its business and live a peaceful life. I don't want to have to worry about nuclear holocaust. Like what the hell? You know, we say we've done this since the World War II. Well, it's like, did we learn nothing? Do we really want societies of people to live in fear? That's what I feel. And they say, well, oh, that fear is because of Korea. It's because Korea is threatening us. No, it's because we're not negotiating and using our words. I mean, I work with children. Do we get to hit each other? No, we need to talk it out. We need to use our words. And here we have a 70-year-old leader who can't even talk things out himself, you know? And so, yeah, the irony that people can be in charge of so much and be so stupid is just astounding to me right now. And I just hope that we get through it and we can get through it in one piece. And my solution is not to blame each other and get mad at each other for our choices. However, like his choices are so extreme, you know what I mean? So like some choices have to be held accountable for sure. But the everyday person who works, I mean, just the level of stress, it affects how we process cancerous cells. If we live in a lot of stress and we have hard lives, we're that much more likely to get cancer. It's another example of...
It's kind of like that argument. You know, a lot of people, I live in Eugene, right, where there's a lot of vegans, right? And you can have a lot of vegan Nazis in this town. People look at you as if you're like, I can't believe you're eating that. And you're just like destroying the planet, eating that piece of beef or whatever, you know, like it's a personal choice. I mean, I have to say I do eat meat sometimes, but it's kind of a weird, we're in this weird space where humans aren't really clear, you know, what we're supposed to eat and what's safe and what's not safe. I mean, the bottom line is our planet never really has been safe, right? Only this last 150 years, the technologists have made it. And we were getting, you know, we had developed a system where food was developed and people could actually eat. The safety came because life was unsure and because people would get sick. And so now it's, you don't get sick from just living in the harshness of life and not having enough food. You get sick from eating the food. You get sick from, you know, I mean, this is where I go with the meat. It's pretty well documented that a human diet, heavily laden in animal products and high in sugar, attracts cancer, attracts illnesses, attracts arthritis, attracts all these debilitating diseases. You shed those things off and your body can recuperate on its own. We don't need the massive intervention, the Medical Murder Association intervention with, you know, well, we can make you healthy. I mean, if I got cancer,
no, I do.
The last thing I do is go to an EMA doctor if I ever got any serious illness.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. And I do think that we just live excessively. And that's where it goes back to just reducing. I mean, even if you were to eat meat, but you don't eat it every meal.
Right.
Or maybe if you're a vegan, you move around your regions of where you get your grains.
Right.
Because, I mean, again, the number one grower of wheat and barley is in Eastern Washington.
That's true.
So, That's where I go back with vegan.
And even the grains, you have to look at what type of grains. I mean, my daughter's a pretty hardcore vegan. She's a stay-at-home mom, and she makes all their bread and all their stuff, right? So, but she doesn't even use standard whole. She uses einkorn flour, which she gets from a whole from Europe, essentially. Einkorn is an original wheat that has almost, I think she told me, something like 70% less gluten in it.
Right, but Europe's not safe of nuclear fallout either.
Exactly.
You know, so
we had exactly. That is exactly right. We really can't. You can't tell where it's coming from, and mostly because they just stopped. And not even just the nuclear fallout; it's all of it. It is really just we're sitting in such a toxic stew right now, created by the technologists. There isn't a really slice on the planet that is safe.
No, and so that's why I don't want to diss anybody for their diets. And I think that people can do, I promote all different diets. But I'm just saying that, an example is, Lonnie, that I was super sick over Christmas. And before Christmas, I was so boasting that I was not going to get sick because I eat so good and I'm so conscious of it. And my family was rested, and I just thought, oh, all you poor people that got sick, you need to learn how to eat better. I mean, I'm guilty of it, too. That's what I thought. And literally, 2 days later, I had 102, 103 temp and was crazy out of my mind. And, I got the cough, I couldn't breathe, and then I was throwing up. I mean, I got, all these sicknesses, and my family got all these sicknesses.
And there's that conversation of where did it come from? I personally think it's coming from the geoengineering. I mean, they are spreading it around. It could be anywhere.
It could have been something we ate. It could have been somewhere we went. It could have been that we went to the beach and there was some, rain fallout that had, it's so big, of how it can happen. Mm-hmm. But my point is I survived the illness, thankfully, and so did my family. But we missed Christmas. We missed most of New Year's. We just kind of all slept through it. And I remember getting up, and I was like, gosh, because I didn't eat for like a week. And someone had given me homemade hot cocoa, and it was from the Tri-Cities. And, of course, it was another one of those complex things of like, do I throw this out? Do I give it away? And I'm like, I just really want some cocoa. That just sounds so good right now. And I made myself cocoa, and it was so sweet, and it just felt so warm, and it was just like warm fuzzies. And you were the first one to say to me, how could you do that?
I really don't.
You know better.
I still don't advocate drinking milk, because milk,
much
as you can, although, but then again, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't even eat a half a cup of yogurt because I really love plain yogurt. It was a staple of my life. And yet this is where I had to remember. Okay. So I just found out about how toxic and radioactive the dairy is. Right. But I've been eating dairy up until probably 10 years ago or 5 or 6 years ago. Well, maybe just 6 years ago until I realized it's full of radioactivity. But that radioactivity has been there since the 50s.
Yeah.
Like really high levels of radioactivity circulating around in the air. The cows are eating. It still goes out. You get consumed. I mean, these radioactive isotopes, just because we eat it and digest it and we die and our bodies decompose, doesn't mean those radioactive components in our bodies go anywhere. They just get recirculated.
Diluted. The solution to pollution is dilution. And we're part of that solution. Yeah, no, so I guess that's where it goes back to that. Sometimes you got to drink the cocoa. Sometimes you need to go surfing. Sometimes you should enjoy some sushi. I mean, I think that we have to not be so hard on ourselves and so disciplined that we can't enjoy our lives anymore. But I think that the sentiment is that we need to remember it's our air, it's our water, and it's our earth, and they're contaminating it. They continue to contaminate it every day. And whatever we don't see, it's still going on behind the scenes. And not only that, we have a constant threat still to this day, as that's a solution of how to end a disagreement is just to nuke somebody's culture, nuke their country. And we can't go threatening other people and not expect them to threaten us with that. Mm-hmm. We've been really lucky that the only nuke exposure we've had in the continental U.S. was our own, sadly. Yeah. But we've never had a bomb in our country that we didn't let off ourselves.
Other than what they did to us on 9/11, exactly. Yeah, that was done by our own government, too.
Yeah, but just it's Three Mile Island. That's our own government.
Yeah.
Our own government. Illinois State has the most commercial nuclear reactors than any other state. That's the top of the Mississippi. That means everything south of the Mississippi is downriver from one of the most contaminated states in the whole U.S.
Illinois, the Natural Resource Defense Fund, worked with the state of Illinois to keep two leaking nuclear power facilities open so that they could focus on closing up the coal industry.
Yeah, so for real. That's contamination that's going all the way through the U.S. Think of all the farmers in the Midwest that are farming with contaminated irrigation water. I mean, that's what we're looking at. And this is just in the U.S. I can guarantee it's going on in Europe. I can guarantee it's going down in Mexico, all over Asia. I mean, that's where it's a U.N. issue. It's an issue that's global where everyone in the whole world has got to come together and say, you've got to stop this. This has got to stop. And I don't know how to unite people. I'm amazed every day how many conversations I have with people who are for nuclear science.
Uh-huh.
You know, people defend it.
Uh-huh. Well, and then their attitude is, well, we've had it for like the last 50 years and there really has not been that much problem. The issue is if you deny the science, they've also confounded it with other chemicals, like the forever chemicals, right? I mean, you can't, that's the point. It was really a clever assault, and it was very, very clever because you can't really blame nuclear because there's so many other things to point to that can cause the same type of cancer, that could cause the same kind of problem.
And that's interesting because I think that's the defense for food, too. Like, so like when you say talk, Lonnie, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it makes me think about smoking, because when my dad worked as an engineer at Hanford, many, 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 many of his coworkers had lung cancer, and Hanford never took accountability for any of it. It was always because they smoked.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so it went to the cigarette companies, and then I see that with like the meat. Now we're blaming the meat. That the beef is bad for us. Well, maybe it's not the beef. Maybe it's the radiation, the radiated, you know, grains and the radiated water and the things that we're feeding the beef that makes it so bad for us. Uh-huh. Same with wheat and barley and all these different grains. You know, if they weren't so chemically compounded with crap, they probably would be good for us. But even if you grow organic wheat, you're still going to have contaminated wheat because it gets rained on. The wind blows on it. You know, who knows where the earth is that it was grown on, you know?
Like that black rain they're worried about that's going to come down in California from the fires, right? They're suggesting that there's going to be black rain in California because the fires were so extensive. Well, those fires were all in areas that were highly radioactive. Radioactive from the test fallouts and from nuclear power facilities around there.
That's true for here, for our forest fire on the gorge. All of that, all those trees that lived on the gorge have lived there for 40 years, the whole time Hanford's been there. And all of that water that went down the Columbia was contaminated. I was reading an article that they couldn't remove the dams in the Columbia River because so much of the radiation has settled in the silt of the bottom of the Columbia River that if they removed the dams, it would uplift all of that radiation.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And, you know, and sturgeon is a really interesting fish. Sturgeon is a prehistoric fish. It's been around, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And they'll live to be like 200 years old. And this sturgeon is mostly endangered now. Like, you can't find one that's less than 50 years old. And it's because we radiate it. They live in the silt of the Columbia River.
Wow. Well, I think the solution really is, you know, to really be happy and take some make choices that will help your body detox. There's plenty of things that you can take into your, you know, ingest. In fact, one of the things that I've found in the last 6 months that's really helped me get better and feel healthier has been this little concoction. Instead of coffee, I drink a turmeric drink with a teaspoon of turmeric, an ounce of coconut milk, and a quarter teaspoon of black pepper and some honey and hot water. And that literally does detox your system. There are things that we can take. People know about these things. I mean, there's things that we can do to detox our body just as food supplements. Just eating the right foods will help us stay healthier, but having a happier attitude helps you stay healthier also.
I agree. And I also think that when you're taking supplements and you're doing things to help cleanse your body, you're doing a lot of mental work where you're giving your body permission to let go. And that's, again, where I think it's just really important that we let go of the things that we don't need and tell our bodies to let it go and not hold in fear and cling to things, to trust that our bodies know what's good for us. But the bottom line is none of us are going to survive. None of us, no matter what we do. And the best thing we can do is make it so that it's easier to survive on Earth for the future generations. And we need to be thinking, you know, 7 generations ahead. And we do a really poor job of that. We live really in our own lives and don't realize that this is about an Earth who can live thousands and thousands and thousands of years beyond us. And what do we want it to look like, you know?
Well, the reality is that our Earth doesn't need humanity on it. You know what I mean? It doesn't need that. But we get to have a choice. I mean, we get to be conscious or not. That's the choice. Do we want to make an intentional effort to put pressure on our elected officials to have that conversation, to move away from the technology that harms the planet and towards technology that actually helps rejuvenate it? Because we do have technology that can rejuvenate it.
Yeah. And put our efforts and our energy into those things. And hopefully it will outgrow the negative. Because right now, man, the greed is winning. It's winning a lot. And I love to see people who are genuine and authentic and happy with very little in their lives. I like people who don't need straws to drink and who, you know, aren't sitting there eating their vegan salad with plastic forks, you know. There's lots of things we can do to make the world a better place, and every little bit helps. It all makes a difference.
I think so. And you're a mom of how many kids do you have?
I have 2.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I have 2 kids that are teenagers, and quite honestly, I'm noticing them having a lot of depression lately. They're very depressed about the state that things are in, and that the sad world we live in right now, that people make really selfish choices and don't really think about the future of our kids.
Well, look, Heidi, I appreciate you coming on here. We have about 20 seconds left. You've been listening to Heidi Lampert of No Nukes Northwest. Thank you for joining us, Heidi. It's been a very thoughtful conversation. I hope you'll come back and share with us some more thoughts because it's quite engaging.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a good conversation to have, and I encourage everyone else to keep the conversations up and try not to
put your courage feet on, you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.